Hey, everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, the Angels fall as Ford versus Ferrari races to the finish line. We're going to break it all down next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. I mean, I'm sure you're wondering, do Carrie and Amy even like Frank anymore?
Absolutely.
Carrie, yes. Amy, we still don't know
she
yet.
Does.
No. But anyway,
she
folks, we're back together.
What's up?
Yes, and this is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we...
Bree, you ready?
Yep.
Pra.
Nah.
Stir.
Kate.
Yeah.
There was a silent G in that one. I liked it. But the box office that lie ahead, I am Frank Moran.
What's up? Carrie Lane here.
And as you heard, her name was called and she answered, making us look good and sound even better, is Bree in the booth.
Hey, everybody.
Look at that. Just the call and response is right
there.
Bree?
That's how we work here.
Do you want me to do it every time?
Bree, are you there?
Here.
Yeah, perfect. Excellent. Folks, before we get going, as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up while you're there.
Woo,
two,
woo.
Three, four, five, however many you have. And folks, if you're in the chat, feel free to jump in, sharing your thoughts about anything that we're talking about. But Carrie, if they're watching after we stream live, what can they do?
Yes, Frank, you can comment down below. And we got the live chat going, and somebody was a little confused on our start time. I'm like, no, we're always at 5.
Yeah.
Well, just a little after 5.
Yeah, we got a little late. That was me. I had a little work thing that held me up. So
we used to be later night, but
The late night movie.
It's just late.
Box office breakdown after hours. That's right. Come on up, everybody.
That could be a fun addition.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know the box office we'd be covering for those for that show.
Midnight movies.
Yeah, that's true. Bree, are you there?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
All right, there you go. So, folks, we're going to be looking back at this weekend's box office. Of course, we'll do our predictions for next week as well as settle who won the box office bet while doing a new one at the end of the show. And we saw Ford versus Ferrari as well as Charlie's Angels. So we'll give some in-depth thoughts about that as well. If we go spoiler-filled, though, we'll make sure to give you an advance noting so you can hop out if you want to remain spoiler-free for any of those thoughts. But without further ado, let's just jump into the top five. And coming in at number one is, I think people knew they had something special here, but I think this overperformed. They tuned up that engine, gave it a little extra horsepower, and it paid off at the box office. Ford versus Ferrari with $31 million.
You got big stars, it's based on true story, and cars.
You know, how much is based on true story, though?
Well, inspired by... No, there's a lot of people that, like, as soon as something's inspired by, based on real events... That's like a whole genre in and of itself.
Does that make, based on a true story, how much does that intrigue you when going to the box office?
A lot.
Really?
And there's movies that I'd be more interested if it's actually based on a true story. So I'm watching the trailer, I'm like, please say based on a real story. I'm like, come on. Though, stranger than, real life is stranger than fiction kind of idea. So mm-hmm. I'm okay with fiction stories too, but it's kind of cool to see stories that maybe you don't know about. So yeah.
Like the Blair
so
Witch
I'm guessing
Project.
Not much for you?
Yeah, I have to admit, if I'm ticking the boxes about what is going to draw me to go into the box office, I feel like whether it's based on a true event or not, it's probably lower down the list than the premise. I think probably the premise is the biggest thing. That's going to hook me more than anything else.
Okay.
Whether it's real, based on real events or not,
yeah.
That's going to be the hook of it. And then after that, I think I put the actors and, I think I would put in the effects work.
Well, the look of it does make a difference.
It looks a little, looks a little janky. Then maybe I might pass on that.
Or overly stylized. Like I was flipping through channels the other day, and 300 was on. I'm like, yes, but that's super stylized.
Very
and
true.
I know there could be people to be like, yeah, they don't care for it, which is okay.
But this Ford versus Ferrari, I did get a chance to see this one. Matt Damon, Christian Bale, directed by James Mangold. So, I enjoyed the film. It's 2.5 hours long, so it is a long one. So if you're not ready for that, maybe not. But
I wanted to.
You thought about it, and that's almost
no. It was Charlie's Angels and Ford versus Ferrari, but the times on like winter times, movie theaters, people still want to see movies before noon. Okay,
no,
like
true.
Everything, if it's at noon, it just doesn't with my schedule doesn't work, and I'm ready to go. But the movie with the two and a half hour movies, they have to be starting almost like 11 o'clock. So I'm just sitting there like, well, we're not today.
No, it is a bummer. I mean, I want to see movies early any time of year.
Yeah.
You know,
lunch break movie.
That's true. Exactly. This film did remind me, though, because it'd been a while since I'd seen him in a role. Josh Lucas. He plays an executive at Ford.
Mm.
And it just reminds you how much of a jerk he can be in a role. Like, he plays jerk, smarmy, sleazy jerk so well. You're like, all right, yeah, you just want to wring his neck as you're watching him in the movie, which a testament to some good acting there. He just really delivers on that.
I think that's sometimes good or bad, because then you're expecting someone to be a bad character, because they normally are, or they're so good at it. And you're just sitting there like, well, I don't trust you, like, automatically.
True. You know? And I feel like the Josh Lucas one, I mean, he pretty much sets it up right at the bat. As soon as you meet him, you're like, okay. But it wasn't one of those where, since it'd been a while since I'd seen Josh Lucas, mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking like, oh, all right. Once again, it's, you know, Josh Lucas playing a jerk. I've seen this. It had been a while, so it wasn't top of mind for me. But yes, it's if I've seen you recently and you're playing the same type of role, then I'm going to be kind of bummed.
Well, it's nice because there are some movies where they flip the script and they're not the bad guy. And you're like, oh.
Like Ben Mendelsohn in Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
That did a great job. After seeing Ready Player One, Rogue One, you're like, oh, not another one.
I'm like, he plays bad guys all the time.
Yeah. And they did a great job with that.
Yeah.
Coming in at number two is Midway. Still holding strong after a surprising number one last week.
Well, Veterans Day weekend. Big thing of that, because like I saw a story on the news and interviewing pretty much anybody, most people who went out for Veterans Day celebration of any sort, you know, went and saw the movie that day.
That's true. And it paid off at the box office. Yeah. Still holds strong this week. $8.8 million. A very steep drop, even though we had some new films in there in the box office this weekend, between number one and number two. I mean, that was...
That's pretty tight between Midway and Charlie's.
A $23 million difference.
Mm-hmm.
And coming in number three is the other new film that came out this week, Charlie's Angels. A disappointing $8.6 million.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
I saw this as well, and I know you said that you wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, even before Ford versus Ferrari.
I was looking forward to it, because I'm like, yeah, it looked fun, and yeah.
What?
That's up my alley. I'm like, ooh, fun movie.
What? How did you like the first two films that McGee did with Drew Barrymore and?
I like the previous Charlie's Angels, and I never really watched the show regularly, like on reruns or anything. But I was familiar with it, and I like the '90s Charlie's Angels movies. They're in the '90s, right? Yeah,
I think early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm one of those. I forget when. I liked him.
Yeah. What I liked about this film is, again, it did a great job of treating everything you've seen as Charlie's Angels, whether it be TV shows, films, as canon. So this takes place after all that, which I love.
Like that. Because it's like you build these great worlds, and then it's unfortunate when people go, just kidding, that never happened. You're like, but you have so much great material to build. Okay, I'm glad.
I'm
excited about that.
And I thought this one did a great job of taking the premise even further, building the world more in this. I thought it was really cool. And it is unfortunate that the story...
is meh.
It's meh. Everything is there, right? In terms of the world building and how they set up the Townsend Agency to go forward, and now it's gone global. It's not a domestic thing. Very cool. The resources and everything, they've gone global. They've kind of put all these places all around the planet. Sounds awesome. And it's just, the story is just such a bummer that I feel like, and the disappointing results for this means it's unlikely it's going to get a sequel.
Were you surprised by the results for it, or were you kind of thinking that it wasn't going to make a lot?
I thought it was going to do better than this. Coming out of the movie, I was disappointed. I saw it Friday, so I didn't know exactly how the box office was kind of figuring out until I looked at it Saturday, and seeing how disappointing it did on Friday night, it made me realize, like, oh, well, we're not going to get a sequel. But I thought it was going to be in the mid-teens, for sure, if not closer to 20.
Well, I'm reading on Cinema Blend right here, has an article about, you know, some reasons why they think it didn't do well. They said number one is no one wanted another Charlie's Angels movie. People weren't asking for this film. They said didn't have enough star power.
Fair. Yep.
Where the original had, like, every single person was pretty much
they were
really
A-listers at that point, yeah.
Charlie's Angels needed to be a better movie, or at least get good word of mouth.
Yeah.
And it had stiff competition.
So we'll see how it does by next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Ford versus Ferrari, I mean, it is too, like, kind of adrenaline-fueled film, so maybe or at least Charlie's Angels wants to be that, so maybe that could be the competition. But I would agree with that. I think if you had, because I mean, Kristen Stewart, I feel, is like the biggest name out of there. Elizabeth Banks, we're setting her aside as the writer director. She's in the film playing a Bosley in the film. Mm-hmm. But for me, Kristen Stewart is not a box office draw. I'm not a huge fan of hers.
Not a big enough draw. And then I think too many people think of her negatively from Twilight of like, oh, me, like, don't see her as an actor.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen her like Snow White and the Huntsman. That was a disappointing film for me with her in the role. So I know there are other people that speak highly of some of the performances she's done in smaller films.
Mm-hmm.
I've never given them a chance only because of what I've seen. I mean, maybe Wonderland. I should check that out because Jesse Eisenberg, Adventureland. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes. No, that one's fun.
That's supposed to be a good movie, but I've never checked it out.
It's quirky, and I didn't work rides at a theme park, but after working at a theme park, you'd appreciate like the mentality of just the characters. You go, it felt very spot on.
Yeah, it's but you know what, Brie, you were mentioning from that Cinema Blend that nobody was asking for it. Sure, yeah. Nobody's asking for it. Okay, nobody's like crying out for new Charlie's Angels, but like the intent, the idea of just doing a female-driven version of a Mission Impossible, because there is certainly the box office is there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people, but again, it's also Tom Cruise in these really well-done films. So I don't know. Maybe I think the market would have been there if they'd had better star power and a better story.
The other girl, which need to look up her name, she was in Aladdin.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's also not the same as like Drew Barrymore, Lucy Liu, and Cameron Diaz. Like those are all, and especially when it came out, I mean, they're still recognizable names now. And I think they were even more like A-listers then. Mm-hmm. Not saying they're not A-listers
really fast
now,
guys,
but
a little off subject. I just wanted to shout out Alexis Torres, wife of former panel member. Is in the chat right now.
Yay.
So,
Alexis! How are you? As if she's going to talk to me right now. Doing
yes,
well.
Through the chat. Yes, that's what the chat's for, yeah.
Oh, that's true. But I don't have the chat.
It's okay.
Be up to,
I'll let you know.
Or you can have an in-depth conversation just as you do in the
side
talk.
Just as I'm typing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it is a bummer
Naomi Scott. Thank you, Ren, in the chat room.
It's a bummer because it is teed up. If this film had delivered, they have a great premise from which to build on and a world to go in.
Who knows? Maybe it might do better once Redbox or something like that, streaming.
Yep. Coming to number four, Playing with Fire, $8.6 million. And then rounding out our top five, Last Christmas, $6.7 million. I am yet again bummed that Amy Cassandra Martinez is not here because I just wanted to see if she saw this film and then tell her how terrible it is. So.
Alexis says hi. She says LOL, okay. Hi.
So, folks, of course, we did our box office bet, and we did that on Ford versus Ferrari. And it really came down, because we had Ryan sitting in with us last week, it really came down to Ryan and myself. Brie, if she's not winning, she's coasting comfortably in the middle.
Coasting comfortably. That's my middle name.
There you go.
I like it.
So, the loser for this is Ryan. Ryan Nilsson with a $19 million bet, followed just barely over him. 19.25 was Brie, and then me coming in at 23. We all definitely underestimated the film. It did much better than we all anticipated. But I came off as the winner. Well, look at me. Well, you know. There you go. This is probably the last time. I think I can go the rest of the year without a victory. That's what I feel like at this point.
You've gotten one.
I've gotten one.
Yay!
Carrie, you don't realize how hot Brie is. She she crushes it at these bets. I am lucky to have even won.
Found something I'm good at.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Get out of here.
No, I think it's just hit or miss. For me, I just kind of try to look at a majority of American. I think what sometimes people do is look at Hollywood and what Hollywood thinks makes a good movie, but I think a majority of American necessarily doesn't always look at movies the same way as Hollywood does.
True.
Look at that. I like that. Just thinking, Brie in touch with the heartland. Look at that. She got her finger on the pulse of those folks out there.
She got it.
That's right. So, folks, of course, there's no time for me to really, bask in this full glory of my win here because, the box office bet, it never stops, Carrie. It never stops.
This is true. It keeps going every week.
Yes. We got to keep feeding the beast. And we've got three films for your consideration. For those of you that are watching us here in the chat live, we have 21 Bridges, the Chadwick Boseman film, produced by the Russo brothers. We got J.K. Simmons in there, Sienna Miller, Taylor Kitsch. It's been a while since I've seen Taylor Kitsch in something, so I'm curious to see how he's going to do in this film. We also have A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Mr. Rogers film, starring Tom Hanks. Yes. And then we have what I think everybody's going to be waiting for next weekend, is they're going to Let It Go and go see Frozen 2. Electric Boogaloo. Is that what it's called? No?
All right. Totally, yeah.
So those are the three films that we're going to be, that are vying for your vote there in the chat. Whoever gets the most votes is the film that we'll be doing our box office bet on towards the end of the show.
So start voting.
Start voting away now. Yes. Vote early, vote often.
Not these movies, but I saw some other ones.
What did you see, Carrie?
I didn't get to talk about last week, but I saw Dr. Sleep.
Did you enjoy
it? Which was cool. I did enjoy it. I have seen The Shining, but like a long time ago, but still, we were talking a little bit before. Maybe not required, because it is interesting how they reshot stuff to have in the movie, which is probably better than if they had tried to digitally alter it or something. It's like, yeah, just get people who are representing them and look close enough to the other movie. I didn't think it was super scary. I know some people are like, oh, they thought it was really scary. No, but I really like horror movies, so it's hard to find movies that are actually really scary. But good tense scenes, and I really enjoyed how they visually conveyed, like, traveling, shall we say, in that movie. So I thought that was really cool. I thought it was, very entertaining, and I'd be curious to actually, like, read the whole thing now knowing like where it goes to. I'm like, oh, this is like, I found this actually probably more interesting than The Shining, because then essentially they're looking into like quote unquote powers.
True.
And I'm like, ooh, that sounds cool.
The sound design superheroes, I thought was really good too, in terms of whenever they'd use their abilities.
Yes, I thought that was very interesting. Characters were interesting. High stakes, which is nice too, not just like casual.
Very true. I mean, it is a long movie. Do you feel like it could have done by a little pruning?
A little bit. I don't know what I would necessarily have cut out, but The Shining's long too, so maybe it kind of fits well. Now, yeah, it was. I found myself like enjoying it, but still like fidgeting a little bit or shifting in your seat. Not like, oh, I'm bored. Is it done? But enough to be like pulled out a little bit and going, this is long.
It's a shame. Yeah. I mean, that it hasn't done better. It's a film that has stuck with me a little bit, which is nice. I keep kind of running over scenes back in my head and stuff. I wish it had done better.
And I liked the villain. I thought that she was
Rebecca
great.
Ferguson was great.
She's so good.
What else have you seen?
Yes. Oh, the other one I did see, I saw a semi-Christmas movie in a way. I saw Anna and the Apocalypse, which is now on Hulu and Amazon Prime. Not sponsored, but
how
I want to share.
How were the songs?
It was really good. I really like them. It's a zombie Christmas musical. So I know some people might be like, nope, nope, nope. But it's very fun, but it actually does get a bit darker as the movie goes. Did you see it?
I have not.
Okay. It came out a little while ago, but now it's available to stream. But yeah, if you want, it's gore. It's from, I think it's Scotland. Well, it's UK. But I like the songs a lot. They're very catchy, and I thought the story was cool. And yeah, it goes darker, which is cool, instead of just fluff light.
Yeah. As our resident musical expert, Brie,
have you seen it?
I have not.
Mm.
Has Carrie sold you on wanting to see it, though?
I would watch it. Probably, I wouldn't want to watch it alone, though. I would want, because I'm not the biggest zombie person.
It's not super scary with their zombies.
It's not like the scary aspect. I'm just not the biggest zombie
fan. Okay, well, it's still like youths navigating life. It just happens to be a zombie apocalypse. And
I would just
want to
watch it with
singing.
Somebody that loves that stuff.
Okay,
so that,
okay. Because
like, I feed off other people when I watch movies, so I love when other people are really excited.
Oh,
I liked how they did the zombies. It makes sense. Like, in rewatching anything you want to watch with someone new, because then you kind of feed off that energy of, like, seeing it again. So, yeah. Mm. And then also one that's coming to theaters in only a few weeks, because I think it's December 8th, but early December, Promare. It's by Studio Trigger. It's an anime film, and it's really, really good. I didn't really know much, and I've seen some of their stuff. They did Gurren Lagann, and they also did Kill la Kill, which... it's not my favorite animation, to be honest, but I really liked what they did with this one, and it's a completely standalone movie. It's imagine like our world, but like a lot of the population becomes essentially fire mutants in a way. They call them the Burnish, but it kind of becomes a problem of some of the people using that in a negative way. And so the main characters, are like firefighters, because all these fires start happening because these people have essentially fire superpowers, and how they fight them. But there's other secretive things going on that unveil themselves as the movie goes on. So I thought that was really interesting. And the music is really kind of epic. And yeah, it's a really cool movie. So look out for Promare of like just cool animation. It has almost a neon color scheme to it, which was really different and fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So go check it out.
I mean, those Phantom Events, they do a great job about bringing a lot of anime over.
Agreed. And it's like, yay, more like anime in theaters. Yes.
So, folks, as you're voting away, I know you're all voting away in the chat for our three films, 21 Bridges.
Come on, people, vote.
A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, as well as Frozen 2. But in the meantime, we'll talk about some international numbers real quick. Basically, Ford versus Ferrari raced to a 21.4 million start internationally this weekend. It went out in 41 markets and came in slightly above its projections. It's a solid start and combining it with the domestic's high-octane debut, it came into a 52.4 global bow. Basically, it's 73% ahead of Rush, which is actually, I need to go watch that film again.
I don't think I caught it when, I think I was more interested, this one looked more interesting than Rush to me.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, that one I don't remember being like, yeah, I want to see it. But this one, I'm like, yeah, maybe because this one had like the comedy of the two leads kind of having butting their heads kind of idea.
I mean, this one.
Or at least via the trailers. Is that part of the movie? No.
Rush is based on a true story as well.
Okay, I know. That did kind of make me go, ooh. Yeah,
there you go.
But not enough to make me go.
Some say I could be one of Chris Hemsworth's best performances in that film. So I know that. I know how much you're a big Chris Hemsworth fan.
Oh, Die Hard. No, he's cool.
It's 33% above Bridge of Spies and 8% ahead of Sully. So basically other films that released the same kind of time frame.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, did I see Sully?
I did not. Yeah, I didn't either.
Oh, I'm like, wait, did I see Bridge of Spies? Like when you think you're like, wait, did I see? Sorry, continue.
Charlie's Angels got $19.3 million in 26 markets. It's again slightly below what they were hearing, and it goes. Its global debut is $27.9 million. It's basically tracking 4% over Pitch Perfect and 45% ahead of Atomic Blonde.
Pitch Perfect 3.
Oh yeah, that's, yeah.
I was sure. Well, let's clarify because I'm like the first one was really good, the second was good. I don't even think I got to the third one. Because then by then I was like, yeah.
The third one's a bad movie. Mm. It betrays everything at the end.
Boo.
Quick sidebar for 1 second. Brie, you seen Pitch Perfect 3?
Sorry about that. Someone was saying something to me right in the booth here. What was the question?
Have you seen Pitch Perfect 3?
I don't believe I have. I think I saw the first two, not the third one.
Got it. All right. I just felt like the Pitch Perfect 3, at the end, they betray everything that they ever believed in the first two films.
Boo.
And that made me just dislike the movie immediately.
And I liked Atomic Blonde, but I think I like the trailer better. How they did that trailer was so good. And I think the movie was cool too, but it wasn't right? Just, you're like, oh, that's always a bummer when you're like, whoever made the trailer did a great job. And too bad they couldn't pull that into the movie. It's still cool, but wasn't the same.
Yeah, it's even though it's only in 26 markets and it does have some more to go, I still don't think it's going to do enough to earn itself a sequel.
Probably not.
Which is a bummer.
Yeah.
And lastly, we'll talk about Warner Brothers real quick. Oh, Joker, it's become the first R-rated movie to cross the 1 billion worldwide mark there last Friday there, and has lifted its overseas total to $634 million, and globally is $1,170,000,000.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a little film that could.
It should likely finish around the $1.05 billion mark.
Just made a little money.
There was that bit that it was being released, I saw on Twitter a lot, where somebody was at the filming of the staircase sequence.
Oh, they're filming through the window?
Yes.
Yes.
And you just see just the initial start of it, but you just see him kind of prepping that and stuff. Mm. And you're like, all right. I mean, how you feel about the movie, you still got to admire his performance.
Fair.
Yeah. Yep. So, folks, of course, we've got to predict next week's top five before we get into our box office bet. So I know you folks are busily voting away there in the chat. Again, it's 21 Bridges, Frozen 2, and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. But before we decide which film you've all selected, we're going to do what we think next week's top five is going to be.
Frozen 2 is number one.
I don't know if anybody's interested in seeing that. Do you think?
Yes. Yes. All those little kids. I want to see it. Yeah.
All right.
It's maybe a popular movie, you know.
I at least early
roll my eyes a little bit. I'm like, huh.
I do definitely want to see it because the trailer looked awesome. It's like seeing them having superpowers.
Yes. I'm glad that they're developing more and it's a little more action and them being more active.
It looks like Frozen 2 is what they're saying is at number one right now. Or is
ooh.
I thought I was seeing 21, but
That might be the top. This is the top five. Sorry.
Gary. Oh, I'm sorry.
He just said Frozen 2 for number one at the box office.
I bet it will be.
Early word is that it's a good film, but not quite as good as the first. So depending on how you feel about the first, you can come out of here loving it actually more than that. I guess it all depends.
I enjoyed it, but I was not enamored by it as much as everyone else. I like Tangled more.
Tangled is a really solid film.
Tangled was so good.
Yeah.
Just because some of the hype for Frozen, the first one, everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's like a princess who's not all about getting married. I'm like, whoa, there were other princess movies that came out before this too. Are you forgetting them? So it's like, okay. Like, that wasn't such as big of a selling point as people made it out to be, because then it's like they forgot, like, Brave had that plotline that didn't have it, Mulan, and I feel there's some other ones I'm not thinking of right now, but I don't know, I feel that one also had, like, way too much hype. Just a little bit. And Tangled's just better.
There you go.
Giving the side eye Frozen.
Well, then we got A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood and 21 Bridges. Now, of course, we still have Ford versus Ferrari. I feel like it's being set up to be a nice long run for this film. Do you still see it holding maybe number two? Or is it going to get Ford versus Ferrari?
Yeah, I think it'll still be good. That people... that's true. If the other ones are going to pop in there.
I mean, we've got a beautiful... I mean, I don't think 21 Bridges is, but Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
I feel Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood could really get up there because Tom Hanks and, you know...
I think Fred Frozen Rogers. 2 is definitely one, but I do think that A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood could take two just with Tom Hanks and the nostalgia of Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
And the documentary did really well, too. Mm-hmm. So, I think you're right there, Brie.
So I feel like I'm going to go Frozen 2, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Ford versus Ferrari. You know, I'll throw in 21 Bridges. I mean, there was such a gap between Ford versus Ferrari and Midway. Mm-hmm. And I think 21 Bridges could easily get over $8 million.
Yeah.
So, I think it's safe. And then I'll round it out with Midway at the end.
I agree. I'm like, I think that's where it's leaning.
I think that's exactly what Ken Jack said.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Actually, I forgot. I wanted to do one quick bonus segment there.
I was kind of excited for that.
That's right, yes. So, of course, Frozen 2, sequel to to what many people consider a beloved animated film.
Mm-hmm.
But my question was, when it comes to animated films and their sequels, do the sequels surpass the original? Or is the original always the gold standard and everything else, every other sequel tries but never quite reaches that pinnacle? So I came down just, and I actually relegated it just to Disney as well as some of DreamWorks. Those are the ones I could really think of that had multiple sequels to them. I didn't do Land Before Time because a lot of them went to direct-to-video and stuff. So,
There's a couple series you didn't list where I would say the sequel is better.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
All right,
we'll go through them then.
Okay,
see.
Cool. Okay. So we'll start off here with, we've got Cars.
I only saw the first one.
First, second, and third.
The second one was okay.
Oh, Brie, you're being too kind. You're being too kind with that.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you were like, it's bad.
I dislike that film so much.
It had Michael Caine, so that puts it up a little bit higher.
True, but it had way too much Mater. Way too much.
I agree.
That character is a supporting character at best. Do not make him the focal point. But, you know, Cars 3, man, that is a really solid film.
I did hear that where more people like the third than the second.
You know, and because it does tie back into the first one, and it does acknowledge Paul Newman's character and the passing of him and what that means.
Mm.
I would almost put 3 ahead of number 1 for that.
Oh, no, absolutely not, Frank.
Mm-hmm. Really? Ooh, all right.
Number one is number one.
All right, we've got Toy Story 1, 2, 3, and 4.
I didn't see 4, but I'd go 2, 1, 3.
Hmm.
Yeah, something about Toy Story 2 is really... I mean, I love the first one still. I don't know. That's a tricky one. I almost want to tie 1 and 2. And then...
But I'll stick by my 2, 1, 3.
Yeah. I mean, each one of those films is... Well, not so much the first two. I felt like 3 and 4 did a really good job of just hitting that, like, emotional spot in me that I was like, oh!
That's because you were older when you watched them. Like, when the first ones came out, we were kids.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
when the other ones came out, they were our age. So, like, every step was like our ages.
True. I cried so
much. It got
much.
You in the feels?
Oh my gosh. I just had tears running at the end of 4. Oh, I was like, Woody. I guess you got to go with, I feel like I'll go with you guys on 2. Yeah. 4 does get repetitive in terms of going to that, back to that antique shop so many times. Yeah, some knocks.
Okay.
But, oh, that ending. Monsters, Inc. and Monsters University.
They're both good in different ways, because the university is them being younger, so it's like a different...
Yeah, it's more of a prequel than a sequel.
Yeah.
I will put Monsters, Inc. head and toes above that. Monster University.
I enjoyed the Monsters University, but they're very different kind of movies.
I still think I prefer Monsters, Inc. over Monsters University.
I would agree. Monsters University says, hey, sometimes you work hard and you still fail. Oh, well. I'm like, that's... What? Maybe it's true in real life, but you don't want to hear that. And I don't want to go to a movie to be told
movie.
That. No. I know. I live that on a daily basis. I don't need to see that in my movies.
Aw.
Incredibles 1 and 2.
1, but 2 is a solid sequel.
Yeah. I wanted to love 2 so much more, and I felt like maybe making it so close that they pretty much didn't. It just takes place right after Incredibles. I think I would have had them jump in time a little bit. Because I felt like we pretty much hashed out the same story.
Yeah, a little bit.
How to Train Your Dragon 1, 2, and 3.
I didn't see 3. Oh, they dealt with different things.
I say 1, 3, 2.
I go with you on that break. Yes.
I need to get to 3 so I can weigh in. I liked 1, then 2, but I haven't seen 3.
Another nice little cry. I did some good crying. Did some good crying at this year's
Wait,
animated
you have
films.
Feels?
That's it. Just for
sometimes.
Yep, just for animated films. Yeah, just get me. Kung Fu Panda 1, 2, and 3.
1, 3, 2.
You know, I'd almost put 3, 1, 2 for me. I feel like
one is it? Is the third one where we meet his father?
Yes.
Yeah, man, that hit me in the feels. I'm like, they tackled this so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. For 1, 3, 2.
Okay. And we also have Shrek 1, 2, and 3.
Somebody in the chat earlier was saying, Yash says Shrek 2 is better than Shrek 1.
I like Shrek 1 still best. And 3, I don't need to ever see 3 again.
I saw all 3. I'd go in the order that they happen. Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, my interest in those films dipped dramatically after the first one. Carrie, you mentioned I left a couple films, so lay down
So movies where I would are one of those. Let me know if you agree. Where the sequel is better. However, I would say part of that is because of time period of when the animation happened. So part of it is it just looks better, which helps it be better. So Rescuers Down Under is much better than The Rescuers.
Oh, all right, you're right there. Yes, that opening sequence of Rescuers
gorgeous.
Down Under is
true.
100%. Right? Yes,
but part of it is just the animation just got better.
Also Australia.
Yes,
very true.
Also, American Tail, Five-O Goes West, is better than American Tail.
Wait, I don't know if I've seen the first one. I thought that there was only one.
The one
John Cleese is the cat, that's the Five-O Goes West, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
so the
one
first
I've seen.
One is when he's in New York, and it's just a darker movie, too. And the second one, the animation is better, it's warmer tones, and it's more fun of like the going west idea, so I would argue Five-O Goes
also,
West
John
is better.
Also, John Cleese and Stewart.
Yeah.
All right. So, I don't think I've only
have you seen the first one?
American Tail. I didn't see Five-O Goes West.
You didn't? Oh, you should. It's so good.
Yeah, all right.
It's so fun.
Anyone else? Anything else?
I feel those are the main animated ones where sequels are better than the originals. And most likely, as a kid, depending on when it came out, you probably actually saw the second one first, and then the other one, and then you're like, "Oh, this is, it's good." Like they're not bad; they're just not as good a quality.
I mean, I guess we could throw in the Ice Age films. I've never seen any.
Oh,
of them.
Seen the first two because the second one had Queen Latifah.
Yeah, I saw the first two.
That's what sucked you in? Like,
no,
gotta
I just remember that I saw the second two because of
yeah.
Queen Latifah. Mom, I gotta see this movie. It's Queen Latifah's in it.
Oh, I liked it.
The first Ice Age is good, yeah.
Is it? I don't know.
They're fun.
I don't know. It never really sucked me in. Like, I gotta see this.
Oh, actually, wait a minute. I was like, someone mentioned Forever After. I'm like...
Shrek.
Oh,
Shrek,
okay,
Forever
wait.
After.
Technically, also, I think it's Ever After is a sequel to Snow White. Sort of. Wait, hold on. I'm like, the deep cut animation. Ever After.
So yeah, folks, if there is a franchise,
I'm sorry. It's... keep going.
Oh, if there's a franchise that we've missed, feel free to comment there in the chat and share your thoughts about, hey, this is a franchise that I think either the sequel is better or no way. It was diminishing returns and the original is still the best.
Happily Ever After is technically a Snow White sequel, but it's a, yeah, it's totally kind of a different look to it. It's not Disney.
No, then we're not counting that.
But anybody else seen this movie? You get to meet the seven dwarves cousins and it's all girls.
Oh, that, this right, oh, yes. That is that age of like, yes, we're knockoff sequels to films.
It was
oh,
cool though.
Some of the chat's asking about Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes, that's a good one.
Oh, yes, absolutely. First is still the best for me.
I'd say first is the best, but second is a very solid sequel.
I don't know. I really like the second.
Fair.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to remember the first one now.
Yeah. Oh, and someone mentioned Back to 5 Goes West. Jimmy Stewart is in 5 Goes West.
Oh.
I said Stewart. Sorry. I had to press
it. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I missed it. I was like, Stewart? Like, Stewart Little? What?
No. Bree's so close yes. to these celebrities. She only mentions them by their last name.
Yeah. You know, we're that close.
Oh, right. Steve in the chat says, you forgot Rio 1 and 2.
Oh,
I didn't yeah. watch the second one.
I didn't watch the second one.
I didn't watch either of those. I
saw the first Rio.
I don't know if I need to see a bunch of birds hanging
Frank,
out.
You've seen so many animated films, but so many that you have not seen.
Yes.
I'm waiting on Storks 2, guys. Give me Storks 2. Storks 2, everybody. Storks 2.
VHS player. Frank, I can give you a bunch of films to watch.
Thank you, Brie.
You got homework of animated.
Yes. All right. All right, folks. So we're getting close to wrap it up, which means we got to do our box office bet on the film that you have voted on. Oh, we have one more.
Little Mermaid 1 and 2.
Two was direct to video, so that does not count. Anything that's direct to video
Cinderella
does not
2.
Exist to me.
Cinderella 2 also.
Lion
no.
King
no.
2.
No.
Lion King 2 I like.
It was actually, I like
not
the Lion
better
King
than the
2.
First,
no,
but, I like
but it's
it.
A good sequel.
Aladdin Jafar's Revenge, or The Revenge of Jafar?
No. Aladdin goes 1, 3, and then 2. Because 2 didn't have Robin Williams as the genie.
Oh.
It was the guy who plays Homer Simpson's voice that played the genie in the second one.
Oh, Finding Dory and Finding Nemo.
Oh, that's true.
I didn't
see the sequel.
Yeah, because when it gets down to the end and all those animals are driving that van, get out of here. And that was too much. I'm willing to suspend disbelief.
And Jack says 21 Bridges.
All right. And we said it's third. No.
You said fourth.
Fourth.
Yeah. Oh, 21 Bridges won?
Yeah.
Oh, guys.
Literally the one I had not heard of.
Ugh,
all right. Yeah, I don't think I've heard about it really.
This is why it's surprising that I win all the time because like every week it's barely ones I even know.
All right, we got Chadwick Boseman, we've got J.K. Simmons, Sienna Miller, Taylor Kitsch. Basically, some crime happens and they've locked down all the bridges to try to contain them. And Chadwick Boseman's gotta take his gun and his badge and bring him to justice. Oh boy! All right.
Mulan 2. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Again, direct, no. Pocahontas 2, direct
it. Oh, I did like Pocahontas 2.
Get out of here. No, thank you.
Do you like Pocahontas 2 as well?
Okay. I did, yeah. She goes to England.
I don't care. Those are like non-canon films to me. They don't exist.
They still count. Yes, they do.
Oh, no way. No way.
Thank you, chat. I'm loving it. Like,
it's stopping a hater, okay?
That nostalgia of, oh, yeah, these ones and these ones.
All right, here we go. Okay. All right. Carrie, you have your number?
I do.
Brie, do you have your number?
Sure.
All right. I'll go.
Wow. Right. Ken Jack is swinging for the fences for, we're going to say what he said for Frozen. So they said for Frozen 130, but 20 bridges, they said 9.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You ready?
Do I have to? I guess.
You got this.
I don't.
Yeah, you do. You got it.
I don't. I don't want it. I don't want it. All right.
And if you're watching this later, comment down below your favorite animated sequels where the sequel is better than the first, or if there's a third, fourth, or subsequent. Leave those too. But I agree. Land Before Time, there's a whole bunch of those.
There's like 50, isn't there?
There's at least 15, I think. But or something like that.
Where they're making one right as we speak. Somewhere somebody is drawing.
Probably. But I liked at least the first 2 to 3.
All right, Brie, we'll kick it off for you. What do you have for 21 Bridges?
10.4. I mean, Frozen 2 and the Mr. Rogers film.
Neil in the chat says 15.
All right, Carrie, what do you got?
11. Getting nervous there, Frank?
Again, once again, Brie gets me with the decimal points. I went 10!
Oh,
that's why I do the decimal points, Frank.
Oh, man.
That's why I do them.
Oh, man. All right. I guess again, Brie just, you know, riding in the cozy spot.
Mm-hmm.
She's legally changed her name. I saw her going down.
Yeah, that's not my middle name. Brianna Comfortable Phipps.
Yeah.
Oh, Jody mentioned Little Mermaid had a third and said it was good.
No. Doesn't I didn't exist. See the third. Was it released in theaters? It's not good.
But that Little Mermaid TV show back in the day.
Well, yeah. There was a Peter Pan TV show, too.
Yeah, but not
that was cool. Well, and
from
it also,
Fox, it wasn't canon.
And Wendy was a mermaid on episode, which was so cool.
All right, folks, look at this. I'm already nervous. Folks, don't go see 21 Bridges. It's
Ryan has the same as me, 11. What's up?
I mean, I like Chadwick Boseman a lot, but you know, let's wait until Black Panther 2 comes out. Then support him.
We'll see.
Yes,
we'll see,
folks. That's gonna do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. Carrie, we done it.
Oh my gosh, another box office breakdown.
Was it like just riding a bike? You just hop right back on? There you go.
It wasn't that long. Calm down now.
As always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a thumbs up or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, however many thumbs you got.
Yay.
And thank you everybody for hopping in the chat.
Yes, thank you.
And Carrie, if they're watching us, we're streaming live, what can they do?
Yes, please comment down below.
Yes. If you want to follow any of us even after the show's over, Brie, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Brie, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And I also have more reviews on there as well. I did a full video on Game Over, which is pretty darn cool.
All right. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. We'll see you back here next Sunday night with another new episode right here on Popcorn Talk.
See
some movies. Except...
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.